Jay, you talked briefly there about a person out of conceptual barrenness taking the first thing that came along. Is that a typical problem you deal with client after client?
Lots of people, probably 80% of the people. I think, keep in mind, most of my work is with people who are already operating in a business, but they made a decision. I mean, if they came to me and said, should I stay in that business, and I could click my heels and transfer the years, the time, the capital they've made, they've invested into something else, 80% I'd say no, go into a better business that'll give you more leverage. But I'm forced to deal with the realities of the situation where they may have 12 years invested, all their life invested, their mortgage to their house invested, a lease for, you know, for 20 years, a building they own, and my charge is to make the most of a bad situation. If people come to me in the beginning before they have inextricably made a commitment that compromises their life, I look at it very differently. I look at it with a very, very ruthless eye to what's in their best interest, short, long term, on all the criteria I said. A lot of people don't really want a job, but that's what they buy, is a horrible job that they can never even take time off of. And I want to make sure that they understand the pros, the cons, the options they have available. I am not in a hurry to see people jump into something, particularly franchises, particularly new ideas. One time, a person paid me, years ago I used to get $2,000 instead of $3,000 an hour. They gave me $2,000 an hour to counsel on how to make a fad idea they wanted to manufacture successful. And I took their money and I said, I'm going to give you the greatest benefit I can. I'm going to give you something else to do with your energy and your time and the capital, because what you're doing now has about a 99% probability of not working. I'd rather show you how to take the same time, the same effort, the same enthusiasm and capital, and put it into an enterprise that had a 90% probability of working. And I can't always do that with people who already committed themselves to a career or to a business.
Do you know if those people took your advice there?
It's been so long. I believe they did, and I believe they wrote me, and I believe they thanked me, and I believe they made a lot of money. But as I said, this is quite funny. Unlike many people you may interview, Marty, I have so many actual clients, case studies, and success stories that they become hazy. I've been doing this for so long, and I have thousands of people who have successfully applied these techniques. I can't always remember the outcome after I do it.
Well, most people's successes are so rare, it's easy to remember them, Jay.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, I've counseled a lot of speakers who speak publicly, and they have the same basic success stories they recant and they utter all the time, because that's all they really have. I didn't get into this field with a conscious desire to record and catalog all the successes. I got into this just to help people, and oftentimes I'm brought in for very intense blitzes where I'll do 3 or 4 hours or a day, and then I'll never talk to somebody again. So it gets a little bit hazy, and as I said, I've been doing this for years, so I'm sorry I don't always have clear answers.
Well, we're getting a lot of your best strategies and concepts. We'll go ahead and go out and make some money and write you a letter, and then you can forget us.
It would be very nice.
Let's talk about barter. This is an area that I think intrigues people somewhat, but very few people have the expertise to do it, let alone understand it.
Okay, let's talk about barter. Barter is probably the most overlooked profit center opportunity everybody in any kind of business can have. It can be a business to go into. It can be an extension of your business. There are probably 100 ways you can use it profitably. I have either bartered or directed barter activities to the tune of probably $100 million for clients over the years. It is very legal. It need not be done covert. It should not be done covert. All it is, in fact, is a means by which you can take any product or service you create that has margin, and whatever that margin is, you can use that margin to acquire goods or services your business wants or needs, or you and your life want or need, and buy them at a discount equal to or exceeding whatever the spread of your business is. And that's a pretty powerful, powerful, powerful opportunity. You can create purchasing power at will. You can buy goods and services you need or want all day long at discounts of whatever your margins are. In other words, if you produce a product and your margins are 60% and you need to buy a product or service, you can go out and barter your product or service for that, or barter to a third person to get to that, and end up getting the product you. Let's say you needed $10,000 worth of carpet.
Okay.
And let's say you manufactured furniture.
Okay.
And your furniture, $10,000 worth of your furniture at retail, cost you $2,000 at wholesale.
Okay.
If you go to a carpet company, a retailer or a manufacturer, and you go to them and say, I will trade you $10,000 worth of my furniture for $10,000 worth of your carpet, you just acquired $10,000 worth of carpet that if you went into the outside market, you would probably pay $10,000 worth for $2,000. You have a choice when you do that of either using it internally and saving $8,000, or turning it into a profit center and selling that carpet to a third party for a discount over market value and making 300 or 400% on the transaction. Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, that's totally, it's not the way I was thinking at all.
You can barter goods, you can barter services, you can barter one-on-one, you can barter in what I call triangulation. You may want something, I may have what you want, but I may not want what you've got, but you may be able to find somebody, a third party, that has what I want, and by trading that third party, your product for theirs or your product for their services, and trading their services to me, you get what you want at a discount. Does that make sense?
Well, it does in an abstract way. You're going to have to be a little more concrete.
Why don't I give you, I think I can come up with probably, 15 really simple ways that anybody could use barter. It's a good starting point. You want me to try to share those?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, well, let me give you the first one. You can use barter to save cash on capital expenditures. Say you're buying a computer. After you've negotiated the lowest price possible, you agree to the price if the seller will take a portion of that negotiated price in your product or services, ideally 25 to 50%. What will that accomplish? It just lowered the true cost of that computer to you by, let's say, one-third, and gave you dating on the barter portion of the purchase, because you don't necessarily have to give them your product or service right now. A lot of people can't use it right now, while allowing you to pay for it later interest-free. If you became really good at trading, you can probably get a higher percentage trade, sometimes 100%. You could even trade a lesser dollar value of your more valuable services or products for a larger dollar value of computers. The interesting thing in barter is if you've got something very valuable and I have something less valuable, you can make me give you multiples or many times or a fraction higher of my products to you if you're going to give me yours, so you even get greater margin. Does that make sense?
Yeah, let's
give you a good example. Car dealers. Cars have a lot more desirability than radio advertising. You're in the radio business.
Okay.
If I was a car dealer and you were a radio station and you needed a car either for your news department or for yourself or for your wife, and I needed advertising, but I didn't necessarily want it as bad as you wanted the car.
Okay.
I could go to you and say, I know you need a car, Marty. I have a car that sells for $20,000. You have radio advertising, but $20,000 worth of your radio advertising isn't worth $20,000 worth of my cars. I will trade you a $20,000 car for $60,000 worth of your radio advertising. Now, why would you be inclined to do that? Because, as you and I both know, incrementally, if your radio station is not sold out, $60,000 worth of your radio time costs you virtually nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Does it?
Right.
You could get a $20,000 car for zero. On the other hand, if I am advertising anyhow, I just got $60,000 worth of advertising on your station for $20,000 less whatever my fixed cost is. And on a car, it's not that much. It's like 12-18% less, but let's say 18%. So instead of $20,000, the hard cost of that car to the dealer would be, what, $16,000-$17,000?
Yeah,
but if he got three or four times that value in advertising, that's better than buying $20,000 worth of advertising for cash, isn't it?
Wow, yes.
Another approach that car dealers do is they will give you the use of the car for 3 years for $60,000, but they will retain ownership, so at the end of 3 years, they get it back, and they've cut the cost to you. I mean, they've cut their cost down in half because the car probably still is worth $10,000 at the end of 3 years.
Okay. Okay.
Ideas?
Yeah.
So you can save cash on capital expenditures.
Okay.
Bartering increases a business's total sales. Since many businesses focus a lot of attention on total gross, barter accentuates the gross while continuing to minimize the overhead, which means that the cost of producing barter, instead of paying with 100% dollars, enables you to increase your gross sales at a fraction of what it would be with cash. Consequently, your bartered sales could be many times more profitable than cash. Keep in mind, if your business can only, on a typical cash basis, selling your products or services for cash to the marketplace, do X, but by adding barter, you could do 3X, and by doing 3X, you increase your buying power massively and lower your cost of goods. That barter transaction could make you more profit than the transactions you normally do, particularly, again, when you do barter, you have two options always, three options. You can barter for goods or services the business normally uses and would pay cash for, right?
Okay.
You can barter for goods or services you or anybody in your family or in your company could normally get and pay cash for. There was a company one time, a radio station, who bartered with Chrysler. They bartered with Chrysler for 25 Chrysler automobiles. They had no use for them, but what they did, they were able to trade whatever 25 times 20 was at $500,000. The radio advertising, it cost them nothing. They got control of 25 cars. The station owner and his son took two. The other 23, they put a sign up in their lunchroom and offered the cars to their employees at 30% less than they could buy them in the dealerships. Mm-hmm. And they sold them all in a week. They gave 30% savings to their employees, but they put $400,000 in their pockets.
Wow.
The fourth thing is you can buy it as a profit center. That was a profit center, but you could use it for your own account too. You can use it as a profit center. You could go outside and sell the cars or trade the cars for something else you needed.
Okay.
An infinite number of possibilities, but you can use barter to increase your total sales. A third way you can use barter is it lets you pay operating expenditures, even payroll, with soft dollars. This means you could be low on or even out of cash and still continue to operate your business and prosper by paying people in goods and services, paying contractors in goods and services, paying suppliers in goods and services.
Before you're done with this, I want you to tell people how to approach this either in person or maybe a letter. But go ahead with the list you have.
Okay. Number four, you can print your own currency or script, which is usable only at your place of business. The advantages and benefits of having your own legal tender are limited only by your imagination, Marty. Here's just an example. Say there's something your company really needs or wants to acquire, but you can't afford it on a cash-paying basis. By using your own printed barter currency, where the cost is based on the cost of supplying the goods and services, and where you take delivery now but pay for it much, much later, you could afford to acquire whatever is needed. Give me an example. There's a prominent restaurant in Los Angeles that was in a cash flow bind. It was very successful, but it was in a cash flow bind. They needed to remodel. They went to somebody and they got somebody to furnish them with $60,000 worth of carpeting, painting, and the like, and they gave them $60,000 worth of script of actual certificates they printed. They got the $60,000 worth of remodeling right now. The other people got $60,000 worth of script that they couldn't possibly use at one time. So besides paying the $60,000 with future services at a discount, because the cost of food is about one-third of its retail, the cost of wine is maybe a one-fourth of the retail.
Mm-hmm.
So besides getting $60,000 worth of remodeling for at most $12,000 in hard costs, they were able to defer paying that $12,000 for months because the person who traded used about $2,000 a month. They couldn't use it. They couldn't use $60,000 in a month.
Pretty hard to do.
So they got to pay for it long-term, interest-free. What bank will let you borrow $60,000, pay them back $12,000 without interest, and call the debt even?
Okay, let me throw a wrench into that. What happens if the remodeling service gave out the script and everybody came that month?
Okay, what's the worst thing that happens? It costs you $12,000
okay.
to have bought $60,000 worth of... First of all, statistically, it's improbable.
Mm-hmm.
But if it did, what's the worst thing that happened? If I said to you, Marty, you're going to have this cash flow bind for a month. But in order to, if you'll accept that, I can get you $60,000 worth of desperately needed remodeling that you'll have to pay $60,000 for $12,000. And the odds of it costing you the full 12 right now are about 1 in 1,000.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, think about it. Statistically.
Tremendous deal.
Well, but it's, I mean, everyone's got it available. I'm just sharing how some very savvy people that I know make their buying power, make their capital expand, create purchasing power at will, reduce their cost of goods and services by far less than the cost of manufacturing, get enrich and expand their lifestyle or their business lifestyle at a level you can't believe, and have a lot of fun in the process.
Okay.
Oh, as I said, automatically get you terms, credit, discounts far better and easier than you could ever could by paying cash. You issue $5,000 of credit to a printer. He gives you $5,000 worth of printing and delivers it to you up front, right away, immediately. You pay with your barter script credits, giving the printer 1 to 2 years to use his credit. The longer you give them to use it, the less value it costs you to fulfill, because $5,000 worth of value today is going to be $5,000 in 2 years is less value, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, it's improbable that prices are going to go down. They're only going to go up, Murray.
Right.
So it's incredible. It gives you the chance to finance purchases at a steep discount, pay for the purchases interest-free, and more often than not even have to pay the full agreed-upon discount price, because most people don't use all the barter credits you give them, even though they're fully entitled to.
All sorts of discounts there.
Number five is breakage. It's the same thing. Breakage represents the barter certificates you issue when you trade with someone that are never used. A certain percentage of all barter credits issued, if they have an expiration date, which we recommend, will not be used. An example, a very prominent major hotel in New Orleans traded $125,000 worth of radio and TV time once, and they issued barter script in that amount with a 1 year expiration date. Right up front, the hotel got $125,000 in advertising for the hotel at regular cash rates. That was advertising they had already normally agreed to pay $125,000 for. At the end of the 12 months, they performed an audit by the controller, and it revealed that only $35,000 at face value worth of the barter script had been redeemed within the time period allowed. The rest expired unused. The hotel was perfectly prepared to honor it, but historically, people don't get around to using it. The cash cost of the hotel delivering $35,000 worth of goods, rooms, etc., was only $5,000. The hotel had leveraged up $125,000 worth of advertising for $5,000 in real cost. However, that doesn't take into consideration two overlooked but extremely significant hidden profit factors. Statistically, $35,000 in room trade produces $17,500 in cash, food, beverage, and miscellaneous sales for the hotel, with a gross profit that would be in excess of $8,000. So the hotel actually got paid $3,000 net-net after all costs to enter into the trade. That's taking the $8,000 of revenue less the $5,000 cost to fulfill in the room. Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Wow, that's fascinating.
All $35,000 worth of rooms were not used at one time also. It was spread over 12 months, meaning that the hotel got to pay the $5,000 in hard costs over 12 months, totally interest-free. In essence, they got $125,000 worth of advertising up front and got paid $3,000 plus deferred interest to do so. It's pretty interesting, isn't it?
That's terrific.
Want to hear more?
Please.
Okay, another advantage of barter is cash conversion. Many barter items, merchandise, or services you acquire in addition to paying bills with can be sold or converted to cash at a fee well above the cost of acquiring them. I told you about Chrysler Corporation. Chrysler Corporation traded a spatula. I told you that about the cars. I did something one time which is pretty interesting. I worked for a travel magazine, Holiday magazine. Holiday magazine was not the most successful magazine in the marketplace, and they had a lot of trouble selling advertising. Whenever they sold advertising, it was a quarterly magazine. They would sell pages at steep discounts because they had to do that to get advertisers to buy them. When they sold an advertisement at a steep discount, since it was a quarterly publication, the ad wouldn't run for 2 or 3 months. The advertiser wouldn't pay until a month or two after the ad ran, because they would sell it through a representative. They'd have to pay 20% to the rep, because the rep would normally sell it to an agency. They would have to pay 15%. So 35% of the already discounted price would be absorbed. They would end up getting only 65% of an already discounted purchase months after the ad ran.
Okay.
I came up with an idea of setting up profit centers to barter. We would barter with people for products or services that we knew before we accepted we had a cash buyer for. The products that we would trade at full rate, which is not discounted. So let's say a rate card is $8,000. Maybe we're selling the ad page for $3,000 in the past, and by the time everything the dust settled, we get $1,800 cash 3 months later. We would now trade the page for full rate, $8,000. We would get goods or services that we would not accept unless we already knew we could sell them to somebody instantly for at least 50 and hopefully 70 cents on the dollar of its value.
Okay.
We would do that before the ad ever came out, because when they made the transaction, we made them give us the credits right away, but we didn't have to fulfill the ad for months. We got cash up front. The ad would cost us approximately, let's say the $8,000 ad cost us $1,000. Let's say we would sell the $8,000 worth of barter that we traded for $6,000. So we'd make six times our money, have our money months ahead, get full retail instead of a pathetic discount, and get all kinds of people who wouldn't advertise exciting to do it.
Wow.
And give people who wanted the travel credits a heck of a deal to boot. Worked out pretty neat, doesn't it?
That's terrific.
Does this help stimulate your mind?
Yes.
You create a barter profit center. That's what I just talked about. It's pretty exciting, really, what you can do with it.
Can you tell us how you approached people, and if we haven't done this before, and maybe generate a letter with the prospect of
doing it? Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it. You can do it straightforward. You can do it based on self-serving interest. You can write and say, my name is Jay Abraham. I own the Abraham Furniture Company. You may or may not know about us. We sell some of the most beautiful and expensive furniture in the city. I have an interesting proposition, I think, that would serve both of us very well. You are in the blank business. You sell something that I very much like, need, or would be interested in acquiring. Either you, your company, or one of your employees probably have a need for furniture. I would like to start a relationship with you. I have a relatively painless and easy entry idea of how we can both become each other's customer. I would like to barter or trade you $10,000 worth of my furniture for $10,000 worth of your product or service. I'm very willing to trade you retail to retail. I will use your services immediately. You may use my furniture immediately, or if you prefer, you can have up to a year to exercise it. How can you best make advantage of this? You can use it internally. You can suggest to somebody the application. You can use it in your offices. You can use it in your home. You can use it as gifts or sales inducements to motivate your staff or your salespeople to achieve more. You can use it to trade other people for some other goods or services your company wants or you want or need. You can use it to as a profit center and sell it to your employees at a discount. Any of those uses, if you put them to productive advantage, you've gotten furniture that someday or sooner or later you would buy anyhow at a discount equal to whatever the goods or services I buying from you really cost you to produce. If we use goods or services that may be sitting in your inventory that have not sold for a while, it's a great way to convert dormant assets into dynamic utilization. I am very willing, by the way, to take higher grade, lower popular items as long as we adjust accordingly. The best part about this transaction, however, is the next stage. If it works for me, I am very willing, if you don't want to continue on a barter basis, to make subsequent purchase on a pure cash basis. So it's a low entry, low risk way we can both develop a wonderful, wonderful buying relationship with each other. You're welcome to buy my furniture for cash in the future. If we both enjoy this basis, we can keep trading. You can be a profit center. We can do whatever you want. At least I think we should explore it because I think both of us can gain. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I have a feeling maybe you have done this in person more often than over the mail. Is that true?
I think it's a better proposition to do by telephone. In person is okay. Telephone is more expedient than in person. But normally, if you walk somebody through the advantages, what they can do with yours, how it benefits them, the fact that you'll take things that maybe are distressed to them, you'll let them have anything they want. They can take it all now or later. You show them all the different ways they can use it internally, externally, self-servingly as a profit center. You show them how they can't lose on the deal. You show them how if it works, it'll evolve to cash transactions. You show them how if it works comfortably, they can set up their own profit center. You offer to help them with it. It's not a very difficult transaction to make.
Okay. And someone who's just new to business or thinking about starting out,
I've suggested a lot of people wanting to go in business become barter representatives and go to people who have goods or services that sells for a much higher price than it costs to create, or that they can create them at will and offer to represent them to all kinds of other businesses and transact barter for them and get as their fee either a share of the credits that they can use any way they want or a cash commission. And I mean, a lot of companies have full-time, they have barter, I started to say, they have barter profit centers, they have full-time staff that do nothing more than trade. Sheraton, for example, has a barter division that trades what they call Sheraton Gold, which is gold certificates. You can use it any Sheraton in the world for room and food. I think it's room and food. It may just be room. In fact, it may just be a Sheraton room, but a lot of hotels do room and food. And they trade something like $5 million a year of this, and it reduces their capital expenditures, their advertising expenditures, their travel expenditures by $5 million.
So there's probably a whole lot of profit centers and medium-sized businesses that might be open to someone thinking about this.
The Home Shopping Network actually started as a barter a permutation. The man who started it, I think his name was Paxton, owned a struggling radio station in, I think, Tampa, Florida, and he couldn't sell advertising, so he would trade people for all kinds of silly, like, retailers for toasters, and he had something like 1,000 toasters and can openers one time that he couldn't sell to anybody, so he started doing on radio, he started with auctions, and then he just did it on discount selling at discount prices, and it worked so well, he took the pilot concept and expanded it and bought time on cable and turned it into the Home Shopping Network. Well, you can obviously vastly expand your available advertising budget without using cash. An international airline company in competition with Federal Express hired a barter firm that I know to pay for its upcoming television schedule using credit for their courier service. The barter company put up the cash, ran the television, took credits with the air courier. In other words, it wasn't Federal Express, but it was one of their competitors. I can't tell you who it was, but they came to this friend of mine and said, we want to run advertising on TV, but we don't have a budget for it. He said, okay, I'll put up the $5 million in advertising, but I want $15 million worth of delivery services. They said yes. He took the $15 million and went to people who didn't use this competitive carrier and said, I'll sell you services with this carrier who's priced at comparable to Federal Express for 40% less than you're paying Federal Express and 40% off their rate. He sold $15 million approximately for nine, made a $4 million profit on the transaction, but the best thing about it for the carrier, or for the package delivery company, was when the barter credits were used up, the people who bought them at a discount were so used to using this carrier that they became cash-paying customers.
That's beautiful.
Is this giving you some ideas?
Yes.
Pretty exciting, isn't it, Maury?
Yes, it is. Very exciting.
You can finance rapid growth without cash. One of the classic examples is billion-dollar cruise line, Carnival Cruise, a Florida-based company that's now the largest cruise line in the world. It started with one ship and insufficient operating capital. The line actually traded empty cabins for radio, television, and newspaper advertising in 100 cities over a 10-year period. The cost of an empty cabin once the ship sails is essentially zero. Plus, the passengers on the ship will spend considerable cash in the bar, in the casino, the gift shop, on shore excursions, booking their air travel through the cruise line. So the net cost to the cruise line to fill an empty cabin was literally less than zero. Stated differently, they made a massive profit off of the bartered cabin being occupied instead of going out empty. And here's the payoff for the cruise line. They used this technique to become the largest cruise line in the world and continuously advertised in 100 cities for more than 10 years without spending a penny in hard cash. A conservative estimate of how much sales they generated, Marty, $100 million. The owner of the cruise line is now a billionaire and is in the top 10 on the Forbes richest list, and it all started with one 30-year-old rusty ship and a heavy barter understanding of advertising.
There's a lesson there, Jay, somewhere.
this ought to be very exciting to people.
Yes.
Another advantage is you've got an ability to instantly and continuously create and generate a steady stream of profits at far above closeout prices. An example, a cosmetic company traded a deodorant that was no longer being manufactured for advertising credits at full wholesale, thus getting their full market price in value for undesirable items. The advertising was used to advertise the new line. The old goods, which probably would have only brought in 10 cents on the dollar as a closeout item, brought full wholesale as an advertising trade. Thus, the chief financial officer did not have to write down the product. The company was saved not only the book loss, but the cash loss too. And they were able to take an item and benefit from it at full price while also saving millions of dollars in cash. In a different twist, a major Japanese auto manufacturer had 1,000 cars in the U.S. that they had been unable to sell at any price for 1 year. The cars were bartered through radio and TV stations, Marty, in selected markets at full retail value, in other words, window sticker. The advertising was used to introduce a new sports car that became a runaway success, which the company previously couldn't afford to run advertising for. The bottom line, the cars were sold at full retail and millions of dollars were saved on the advertising schedule, and the new sports car became the basis of a blockbuster success for the company because they advertised it constantly with the advertising they acquired solely on trade.
Okay, let me interrupt you here. We have about 14 minutes left in the tape. Can you do me a four-minute scenario of something, a small scale, that maybe people could apply?
Well, I mean, yeah, almost anybody can trade their own goods or services for things. A man wrote me after he learned bartering from me at a program that he went out and he traded all the he traded whatever it was his company did for a full summer's worth of gardening, lawn care, and tree trimming.
Okay.
And that helped him. That guy, he said it was worth $3,000 in the summer.
Wow.
It cost him like $400 to do that. He would have paid $3,000 for it. It cost him $400. I have a friend who traded a Rolls-Royce automobile to a company for $500,000. He traded a Rolls-Royce automobile that at wholesale value was only really worth about $40,000 for $500,000 worth of TV time. He took the TV time, used half, and sold the other half for $25,000. He used the half he used, made him $500,000 because he used it for his company.
Hmm.
That's pretty interesting.
Yes, it is.
I have traded goods and services for clients all day long. When I used to be in the magazine business, we used to do seminars and conferences. We would trade booth space at the conferences to publishers for books and newsletter subscriptions. We would take the books and newsletter subscriptions and offer them in our magazine at full rate and sell $20,000-$30,000 worth a month. We would sell more than we ever could have sold. Like a booth may be worth $3,000. We would sell a $3,000 booth and barter for like $10,000 worth of books. We would sell all $10,000 of books in our magazine, so we actually got triple what the booth was worth, and we were having trouble selling the booth at $3,000.
And that ties in with continuing to work with your client, what other needs he might have.
Well, see, barter is a wonderful means. If any company who can create an ongoing supply of their product or service with big margins should seriously look to barter for acquiring goods or services they need, for profit centers, for starting new customers, for increasing their buying power, so they can even manufacture or create their product at a lesser. I mean, take a company. Let's say you have a service company. Let's say your service company has salaried technicians. Let's say you're not getting full utility out of those salaried technicians. Let's say you're paying them for 40 hours, but they're only working on average 30, really.
Okay.
They're sort of sitting around waiting.
Okay.
Let's say you're paying them $40. Let's say your real paying to them is $20 an hour. For 10 hours a week, they're not being used. It's $200 a week you're paying them for. They're not being used.
Okay.
Let's say you got five of them, so it's $1,000. But let's say the market value of those $5,000 is really more like $5,000. If you traded that to somebody for something worth $5,000, it's like found money because you're paying them anyhow. Mm-hmm. And the person using them would start getting acclimated to it, and would then had a high probability of becoming a cash client. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. Okay, do you have time to continue?
Yeah, I got a couple more that are pretty interesting.
Okay.
Another advantage is turning excess inventory into cash without losing regular business. A major international hotel issues its own barter certificates in the amount of $7 million a year. That's another one. Over the years, the certificates have become extremely popular in the advertising community since they are used at more than 1,500 hotels around the world. The hotel corporation is able to trade for advertising with nearly any radio, TV, or outdoor advertising company because of the popularity. The hotel corporation saves $10 million, but what happens is they trade with different companies purposely every year so that this year you may get $1 million worth of my trade and I'll get $1 million worth of your billboards. Next year I'll do it with somebody else, but because your people are so comfortably used to staying at my hotels, next year you'll spend $1 million cash with me. Does that make sense?
Yes, makes sense.
The next one is recycle dollars right back to your own pockets. This is brilliant. The city of Palm Springs ordered advertising for its tourist bureau. It in order for the media, the radio station, the TV, the network, or magazine, to be paid for the advertising they run, the Palm Springs Tourist Bureau requires that the media had to travel to Palm Springs and spend money in the city itself. In essence, the media had to spend an equal number of dollars in Palm Springs and show proof of purchase they were paid. In other words, I'm the Palm Springs Travel Bureau. I want to promote Palm Springs all over the country. If I spend $25,000 on your radio station or your television station on advertising, let's say you're in New York City.
Okay.
I will only write you a check if you agree to spend that $25,000 I give you with merchants in my city, buying goods or services that you would normally buy anyhow. Let's say you travel. You got to use my travel agency. Let's say you're going to buy a car. You got to buy it through a car dealer in Palm Springs, even if it's shipped to you there. Let's say you're going to buy a computer. You got to buy it from me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
The last one that I would think of off the top of my head is stockholder benefits. Many companies issue employee and stockholder benefits or bonuses in barter, either for the company itself or for other barter they have acquired. They give Christmas presents, sales bonuses, customer inducements, all without using cash. I think that's pretty interesting, don't you?
A lot of intriguing ways to use barter. It's pretty incredible.
It's a profit center, leverage, profound competitive advantage. Everyone listening to this interview should instantly and perpetually commit themselves to take full advantage of.
And it seems to me the key to putting on your thinking cap to make this all work is to think in terms of someone else's interest.
How can I give them an advantage? And it's based on what people need, want, or could get impetuously excited about.
All right. Okay, we have about enough time for 10 ideas in 10 minutes.
Okay, well, let me come up with 10 good ones for you, Marty. The first one I want to talk about is, it's a secret tax sheltering technique I have used for a lot of clients, and it's an ethical loophole you all have the ability to capitalize on. It's a wonderful technique for people making a lot of money, and when I reveal this to you, if you say, well, that's not me, you could teach it or share it or sell it to somebody else, and they could pay you a very big share of the savings realized from it. It's so simple and obvious, it's embarrassing when it's explained, but it works for almost everybody that uses it. That is this: the moment you understand the lifetime value, the marginal net worth, the critical components of what happens when a customer comes into your life and how many times they repurchase, once you determine what your maximum allowable cost is to acquire a customer, then if your business is sitting with a huge profit before year end, rather than paying the taxes on them, you can commit to an intelligent customer generating mailing or advertising campaign or dispatching of salespeople at year end that will write off most of your profit, because you know predictably it'll produce customers where much more profit will come back to you in the subsequent year. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Is it confusing to you? Let me give you an example.
Okay.
1 year, a client of mine made $1 million profit. They learned that every time they brought in a new customer, that customer bought three times a year from them for life. They realized they could spend, I think it was $50 to acquire a customer, and they would still make something like $300 a year from that customer for years and years. They had a big profit. Instead of paying the taxes, they took about three quarters of that profit and put it into mailing programs, sales letters they sent out all over the country right at year end. They had to do it at year end because they had to pay for it and do it before the year was over, or they couldn't write it off.
Okay.
But by doing it right at the end of the year, they were able to roll the money and the revenue into the next year, and then the revenue came back. They got back all their write-off and the profit, but the biggest profit wasn't the return on that one-shot investment. It was the residual or ongoing or repeat business that came from all the new customers they produced, but they got the tax write-off to boot.
That is a fabulous idea. All right, number two, we're running out of time.
Work with ad agencies on a contingency basis, not a percentage one. Agencies normally have no advantage in really producing great results. They make 15% plus production. They have no inducement to produce. You're better off giving them a correlation to results, figuring out what is your acceptable or allowable result, or sales, or number of customers, or profit, showing them how you'll give them no money for placing the advertisement, but you'll give them more than 15% if the advertisement they create and place produces the result you want. That will all of a sudden induce them to be much more inclined to produce advertising that works and negotiating prices that are more advantageous to you. Most agencies have no inducement to do either because they make more if they pay more. They make more if you never know how it works.
Okay, I have time for two more ideas.
Stop spending so much money on advertising and develop and divert it into different ways. Advertising is normally the least viable, the least profitable, the least effective, the least efficient way you can reach customers, develop business. Explore all the other options first. The first option is your list is your best list. If you work your customers, you can normally grow more business and get more referrals than anything else. Endorsements are your second best list. People who work in kindred fields who have customers who are logical users of your products are the third best. Renting mailing lists are the fourth best. Targeted media is the fifth best. General advertising to the outside market is normally the worst possible utilization of your selling opportunity and your capital.
Okay. All right, one more idea, and we have to close for this month, Jay.
Well, I think the best idea I could give you after that is ask yourself, who already has my customer? Who's already doing business and has the trust and the respect of the prospective customer I want to reach? And who could I go to who would not be a direct competitor, who would be in a great position to either endorse me, do a joint venture with me, have their selling people or their distribution line offer my product or service to their customers also for a profit shift? If you look at that, you'll be able to take fullest advantage of all kinds of people who've already sunk years and hundreds of millions of dollars into building goodwill and identifying your customer, and you'll have to spend nothing on a fixed basis, only be spending money on a results basis to access them. That's pretty much it, Marty.
Jay Abraham with the Wizard's Edge, thanks so much for sharing with us this month. We'll look forward to what we can do next month, but in the meantime, there's a whole bunch of things I have to do.
Thank you, Marty.
All right, bye-bye. Marty, Stacy, look forward to talking to you next month.